Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Just wanted to read a scripture for you guys, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. This is our God, church. This is who he is. He loves us so much that he gave his life for us. Amen. Let's praise him. Song of the heavens, and we know the lyrics. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I can't wait till one day we are all in heaven together with those who have gone before. Amen. And those who will come after us. And all the heavens are going to be just rejoicing and singing, holy, Holy is the Lord forever and ever. But we can sing it now too. Let's join with the heavens and sing, Holy is our God.
Oh, Today, I want to talk about some amazing running events. I don't know if you've ever witnessed those. My kids are both, I guess we're both in track this year, and so we got to see some amazing runs. We got to see Adria at the 5K Abigail run, and she did amazing at that, but I want to talk about some other ones. Some others that are tops on my list, Roger Bannister breaking the four-minute mile in 1954. That was amazing. Everybody thought that it could not be done, but he did it, and he did it on a cinder track. I can't imagine how difficult that must have been. Jesse Owens, who attended the Ohio State, ran in the 1936 Olympics in Nazi Germany and took home four gold medals. Can you imagine what that black man in Nazi Germany, what statement that made? He took the 100 meter, the 200 meter, the 4x100 meter, and a high jump, right? Those two runs were amazing, and I wanted to share video-wise my favorite run of this past year. If we could show that video, Kate.
Ewers back to pass. Ewers deflected at the line, and it falls incomplete. Here we go. Fourth and goal, Texas at the Ohio State 8.
It's not do or die, but it's close. Pressure comes.
Ewers set to toss. Ewers being chased.
Sawyer knocked it out.
Hit by Jack Sawyer. Knocked the ball out.
Pressure on the 4th and 13. Jack Sawyer. Give me that.
Sawyer's picked it up and he's running down the right side.
Strip sack for Jack. Jack Sawyer headed down the sidelines.
Jack Sawyer hits the 50-yard line to the Texas 40.
He scoops. He runs.
30 to the 20 of Texas. Jack Sawyer is going to take it into the end zone.
Ohio State scoop and score. Jack Sawyer, touchdown! Jack Sawyer and dagger from 82 yards.
My favorite 82-yard run. Right, I don't know about you guys. What an amazing season, though. That's not my top running story, though. I want to share my top running story, and it's a story that Jesus told. That's where we encounter it. It's not a real event, but this runner's story has literally impacted billions of people. Billions of people. It has impacted mine, my life like no other story, and I hope it does the same for you this morning. Luke 15, beginning at verse 11, would you stand in honor of God's word? Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, would you impacted on our hearts? Would you drive it in deep? Lord. Would you soften our hearts so that we can receive it? Would you open our eyes? Would you open our ears, Lord? Father, have your way in this service. May you be glorified in all that we do, Lord. We ask this in the name above all names. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Whether you're a believer or not, everybody knows the story of the prodigal son. It's the story of a son who says to a father, right, I know I've got this inheritance coming, but I want it now. It would have been a huge insult. It's him saying, I'd rather have this money, this inheritance, than your presence, than a relationship with you. And as we read, he gets that inheritance and takes off for the far country, right? And what happens? We don't exactly know. We get the older brother's take on it, on the story, but all we know is that he squandered the money in wild living. He went broke, and he had nobody there to turn to. We also know that at some point in the story, he realized that what he was doing wasn't working out, right? And we see in Luke 15, verse 20, he decided to make a change. I hope this is a reminder that you can make a change as well, that you can turn around as well this very day, right? If you come to the place where your life is falling apart, you can turn back. You can come back. That's possible. Verse 20, so he set out and came to his father. Now, I always thought that the son realized what he had done and he was humble and he was repenting and coming back to his dad. But if you look at the speech that he was preparing to give, if you notice something, it's the words that were spoken by Pharaoh when the first plague had come. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, was a paraphrase of what Pharaoh said in Exodus. He wasn't really repenting. He was just trying to manipulate the situation so that he could get out of the trouble that he was in. That's what Pharaoh's did. That's what the son was trying to do. It's something that we all try to do ourselves when we get into those messes, when we see the consequences coming our way, right? He was thinking, I messed up. I must figure a way out of this. I'm not making any money here. There's no hope for me here, right? There's this famine going on. But you know what? I could go work for him. I could go back to my father. My dad is fair. My dad is generous, right, with his workers. I could just get in with them. Then I could fix this. Then I could pay it back. That's the speech that he was ready to give. But what happens? But when he was still a long way off, his father said to him, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Every time I read this, I'm amazed because the father was looking for his child, right? His child who was lost. He's actively looking for him day after day, waiting, right, for this moment. He's hoping. And when he sees his child a long way off, he doesn't have contempt for him, right? Instead, he has compassion. He feels compassion. I was texting somebody late Thursday night, and they used to come to this church, and they haven't been here in probably a year. And they're in this place that probably many of us have been in. That place where you keep picking up that thing that you know you shouldn't be picking up, right? And because you keep picking up that thing, you don't feel worthy to stand in the presence of God. Because you keep picking up that thing, you're embarrassed to come to the family of God, to come to church. The shame keeps you away. I wish this person would see this. I wish this person would see how Jesus describes the Father in this story and understand this. Jesus describes the Father as actively looking, right, for his lost son. And we see when he sees his wayward child, he runs to him. That compassion wells up so much that he had to run to him. that he wants to run to him, right? He must get to his child. When God sees you today, wherever you are, can you hear that? Can you know that? Can you realize that? Maybe you've been out of church for a long time. Maybe you're tuning into us and you haven't been in church for a long time. Maybe you haven't been able to pray. Maybe you haven't been able to seek the Father's face, right? Maybe you've been living a life that you're not proud of. Can you just picture this scene? He doesn't have contempt for you. His goal isn't to punish you, right? His goal isn't that you get what you deserve. His goal is not that you feel bad about yourself. No, he has compassion for you. And like any father, like any parent is, he just wants to get you back so that he can once again have a relationship with you. That doesn't mean that there aren't consequences to decisions made, right? We're not going to gloss over that. It doesn't mean that he's happy about the choices and your choices and my choices. It just means that he sees how miserable you are, how broken you are. He knows how much it hurts. He knows how devastating the consequences are. And he feels compassion for you. He wants to see you restored. His heart goes out to you. And look what happens. He runs to you. This is the image that Jesus uses. That's the image that Jesus wants us to picture so that we can understand the Father's heart, right? That is why he teaches his disciples to pray. Do you remember that? He teaches them to pray to the Father, not some impersonal God, not some God way up there, right, who really doesn't care, who has his hands off of everything. No, he teaches his disciples, he teaches his followers to pray to a Father, to a good Father. That's just an incredible image. There's two stories right before this one that Jesus tells to give us more insight to our Father above. The first story is about that one sheep, right? That one sheep out of 100 that gets lost. That's not a big loss. It's just 1 out of 100. It's just 1%, right? But we know that our Father is a good shepherd. We know Jesus is the good shepherd. And so he moves to find that one sheep. If you notice something, that sheep didn't really repent. That sheep didn't cry out. That sheep wasn't doing anything to be found. But the shepherd goes after it because it's lost. The shepherd realizes it's lost and seeks it out. Our God is one who seeks the lost, goes after the lost. In the second story, a woman has 10 coins, right? She loses one in her home. What does the woman do? She turns everything upside down. She cleans everything. She makes every effort to find that one lost coin. She's desperate to find it. That coin couldn't come to her. That coin couldn't do anything to call her to it, right? We see our God turning everything apart until he can find that lost coin. And then what happens? There's a celebration, right? In this story, we have a father with two sons. Both sons are actually lost. It's not just the one that we've labeled today the prodigal. Both sons, both the older and the younger, are lost. And we see the father going to both sons, right? With the younger, with the prodigal, we see him running. But he goes to both. We think we make the decision to turn to God, and then God comes to us. But in these stories, God is really the one that's going after us. Yes, there is repentance that must be involved, but our God goes first. Our God seeks us out, so grace comes to us, right? He pursues us, and I think this is extremely important for us to remember. If we bear his name, if we call ourselves Christ followers, then we must be the ones who seek the lost, who go after the lost. Not just wait for them to come to this service, right? We go to them. We go after them in places that maybe are a little crazy, we go to them with the good news of what their Father has done, of what the Son, the price that has been paid for them, right? Jesus telling the story of a father running is the craziest thing that he could mention. The father runs. If you look at this through the eyes of somebody living in the Middle East in this Palestinian world in the time of Jesus, no patriarch, no father, no one in this position would ever run in public. Why? What was the big deal? Well, to run in public, he would have had to pull up his robe and tuck it in his belt, right? And as soon as he did that, his legs would have been exposed. People would have seen his ankles, his knees, maybe his thighs as he's running, and this would have been extremely embarrassing in this culture. It would never happen. It would disgrace the father. It would disgrace the family. It would bring humiliation. But the father says, I could care less, right? I could care less what the community thinks. I don't care if they see my ankles. And he starts running towards his child. Maybe you think it's not a big deal. Maybe that's because when you picture this father living out in the country, right, with this long driveway going to his house. No neighbors close by. He just sees his son far off, and he starts running to them, but nobody would see him running. But that's not how this would look. In the days of Jesus, people lived in community. And we should assume that there's a village involved in this. And when there is a village, there is a tight community. And your reputation in this tight community was everything. With that community and in this time period, there would be something in place called kazah. Jesus doesn't mention it, but it would have been in the minds of everybody that was listening to him tell this story. There are certain things that if they happened would bring about this kazah, this ceremony. One of those things was if a person married a non-Jewish person, a person outside the faith, that person would be brought before the community elders and kazah would happen. Another thing that would bring about kazah would be if a Jewish person lost their inheritance to the Gentiles. An inheritance was supposed to be passed down in the community, passed down to people of the faith. And if you lost that to people outside the faith, then this kazah would happen. Where would he face this kazah? He would have to face it at the gates of the village. That's what this young man is looking at. There would be a ceremony right there. The elders would be gathered, the most respected and prominent people of this community, and he would have to stand before him. The father would not be invited to this event. The reason why was because in this culture, the father's blessing trumped the community's decision. So the father was required to remain at home. The mother could come. The mother could plead for their child for mercy, but not the dad. And normally the elders would hear out the person that was trying to come back, and they would decide their fate. If they decided that kazah was warranted, a word which means cutting off, they would throw a clay pot at the foot of that child. Of that person. They would smash it on the ground and say to that person, you are now kazah. You are now cut off. And they would not be allowed to enter the village ever again. The broken pot symbolized a broken relationship between that person and his family, that person and his community, that person and their faith. It could not be repaired. And so they would be permanently cut off. The son knows this. And not only did he have to face his dad, but he would have to face this ceremony. He would have to face these elders. And so he's preparing his speech for his father, but also to get past this kazah. It was the only chance he thought he had, right? He's got one shot to get through it. And his plan was, if I can work for my dad, if I can make this money back, then I can pay my debt that I owe, right? I can have enough money from what I wasted among the Gentiles. If he could get that plan maybe to the elders, maybe they would let him come in and wouldn't cut him off from the community. In his mind, it's the only hope he has. It's the only way back in, right? To get back into the community, to get back in this relationship with his father. He has to earn his way back. If you think about it, that's a picture of religion, right? That's exactly what that is. Our relationship with God has been damaged, and because of the wrong things we've done, right? And religion tells us you must earn your way back. You have to do something to pay that debt that you owe, right? The good things must outweigh the bad things for you to have a chance. The Father has a different plan, though, right? Our God has another way. And understand this, that is why he's watching the road. That is why he's watching for his son. See, the Father knows kazah will happen. The Father knows that how religion operates. And he's always looking and waiting for his son. He knows that the only chance his son has is if he can get to him before his son gets to kazah at the gates of the city. Right? So he watches for him. He sees him far off, and he has to run to him before he gets to the gate, before that ceremony can place. He tucks in his robe, right, and takes off sprinting. Does something completely embarrassing. He bears the shame that's meant for his son. He scorns it, and he runs to him, right? Do you get that? Do you understand that? This is by far the greatest running event in the history of mankind. This is our God. The Father didn't care how embarrassing it was. He just wanted to get to him, right? Get to his child before this kazah, before this cutting off. The Father is about to break the custom, to break the rules of religion. He's about to suffer shame. The scorn of the elders, why? Well, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming filled with compassion, right? He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said, here comes the speech, right? Here comes religion. Here comes the way he's going to make it right. Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring on his fingers, sandals for his feet, right? And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now is found. Can you see the father running to get to his son? Before kazah. Can you hear him shouting? This is my son. Grab the robe. Grab the ring. Grab the sandals. Get it on him. Right? Notice reconciliation happens in a moment. In a second. Right? Reconciliation happens without the son earning his way back. The father restores his son and immediately trumps kazah. So when they came to the city gate together, right, the boy already had his robe on, already had the ring on, already had the sandals on. His station was elevated back to sonship. Back to a child of this father. His father's arm is around the son. And they walk right past kazah. Right to the father's home. Where there was a celebration going on. This is the picture of the grace of God that is extended to each and every one of us. It is how one day we'll enter through the judgment into the new earth. It is how one day we'll get past the kazah by the Father, by the Son, by the Son's robe, right? That robe of righteousness that he earned, not that we earned. We have nothing but filthy rags. If we try to earn it, it is nothing but filthy rags. Let me tell you about what it costs, though. Look to the cross, right? Look to the cross to see the cost, to see the price that was paid so that you and I could avoid kazah. There was a tremendous price. You see, there had to be a substitute. There had to be a person to take our place in kazah. When you see Jesus hanging on the cross, Jesus got kazah. Jesus was cut off. Cut off from the living, right? Cut off from the Father. He drank the cup of the Father's wrath. The punishment that we deserved, he bore. We're the ones who deserved it. He's the one who took it. Do you remember Jesus' words? Matthew 27:46, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Father, why have you cut me off? God the Father smashed the pot of our sins at the foot of the cross. The cross that his Son was nailed to. Our Lord and Savior was cut off so that all of us, so that you, so that me, and all those who are listening could be embraced by the open arms of the Father. The cross was the payment so that we could be welcomed home. Jesus got kazah, and we got grace. My friend, as I said before, that grace is being offered to each and every one of you. It is not cheap, but it is available to those who are lost. The younger son had a choice like we do today. He could refuse grace. He could refuse sonship. He could refuse that gift, right? He could step forward with some kind of false humility, with some kind of pride and say, no, I'm going to earn my way back. I'm going to pay back what I've done, right? I'm going to pay for my sins. I'm going to earn this. He could step back with religion, or he could accept the grace of God, the gift of God. He could literally embrace God and realize that it is only by what the Father offers that he could be saved. That relationship with God is the only thing that trumps kazah. If we come to the Father and accept his grace, when we stand before him on judgment day, right, Jesus will come and intercede for us. He reconciles us. He restores us. He puts the family robe on us. He's the one who calls us son. When we get that robe, it's his robe. It's Jesus' robe on us. It's a ring on the finger. It's sandals on the feet. And it's the only way we get past kazah. It's the only way that we can hope to get past God's judgment and spend eternity with a Father on a new earth. That is the good news. That is the good news of God's grace. That is what is available to you. The boy thought, if I could just work it off, right? If I could just pay it back, I can make it. That's what this world teaches all of us. We have to earn everything, right? If you can just be good enough, you can make it. But that's not the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus made the way, right? My friends, you were created by God. And one day, at the end of your life, you will stand before him. Hebrews 9:27, is just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. At the end of your life, you're going to stand before him. and you're going to have to give an account for your life. Each of us will, right? And if you're thinking that you're going to be able to give some kind of Pharaoh speech, I've sinned against you, but I made up for it. I was a good person. Or I went to church, or I gave money. It's all filthy rags. All of it. Before a holy and perfect God. It won't work, and you will be cut off. Jesus will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." That's why he's looking for you, though. That's why he will run to you, because he knows you won't make it past judgment. He knows you can't make it past judgment without his embrace, without his robe, without his ring, without his shoes, without his relationship. This is my child. Let him pass. That is the only way you'll make it. And that is why grace is amazing. Amen. We say grace is amazing because God runs to us while we were sinners. Grace runs to us. Grace embraces us while we were sinners, right? And all we need to do is accept the embrace to start the relationship and then follow him. Pick up our cross, follow him. Turn from the way we were heading, follow him the rest of the days of our life. My prayer for you today is that you realize there is a God who came down from heaven, died in the most humiliating, painful way, just so this grace could be available, just so this relationship could be available. It's there if you will turn to it. It's there if you will embrace it, if you will accept it, right? You can be saved. I pray that you come to that realization that you can't earn it. You can only accept it and live a life in response to it. Next week, we're going to look at the other son who was lost, the son who stayed with his father, son that the father had to go to as well. We'll talk about that son next week, but I want to end this week with a chance to embrace the grace of God, to just give that to you. It's being offered to you. I pray you accept it. I pray that you realize it. I pray that you understand that the only chance you have is what God did. I pray that if you knew that truth, if you know that truth, but if you wandered away from that truth, right? If you're off doing your thing, whatever that may be, I pray this is an opportunity to turn back, to get into step with the Holy Spirit, to get into step with the one who saved you. The Bible tells us that Paul and Silas were asked, "How can we be saved?" And they responded, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, right, and you will be saved." To believe in the Lord Jesus is to believe that he came and died in your place, that he died for your sins, and accept that good news. It's to realize I have nothing to offer. All I can do is cry out to him and ask him to save me, right? If you believe that, if you put your trust in that, you can be saved. And then it's just a matter of following him from here on out, seeking his will. But I want to give you that opportunity today. Would you close your eyes? To the ones who's far away, to the ones who've gotten off the path, it's time to come home. It's time to turn around and acknowledge that. It's not time to earn your way back. That's going to get you off the path. That's going to get you out of the way. Now is the time to embrace God's grace and come back to him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and let me know so that I can pray for you? I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. I'll pray for you. Embrace. No, no, no. Be embraced. and live for him, whatever he calls you to. If you don't know Christ, maybe you've heard it for the first time, and you want to put your faith in him. If you believe that he did die on a cross for you and you want to turn to him and follow him the rest of your life, would you raise your hand and just let me know that as well so that I can pray for you? I see you, brother. I see you, sister. Anybody else? Praise God. Praise God. You can stand with me. Open your eyes. If any of you want to talk, come talk to me. I'll be praying for you. I know who you are. Be embraced. I spent too many years trying to earn it. There is no earning it, right? It doesn't work if you try to earn it. It's just an impossible path. It's an impossible task. If you realize that grace is available, if you realize that grace has a gift, right, it will change you from the inside, and you will want to follow him. You will want to serve him the rest of the days of your life. You've got to accept that first, Lord. You've got to let him change you from the inside out. Surrender everything to him. Don't let anything get in the way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the story that you told. We thank you for the message that you wanted us to hear. Lord, and I pray that your word would speak louder than any person behind this pulpit. I pray that we'd embrace that. I pray that we'd be embraced by that. Father, I pray that we would see you as a heavenly Father who longs to be reunited with us, longs to know us. Father, I pray that you would convict us of that, Lord. Father, let us live for you the rest of our lives. Father, you don't save us so that we can just be with you forever. You save us and you call us to be agents of reconciliation. Father, would you give us an opportunity this very week to share the amazing news of a God who runs with somebody that needs to hear it? Would you put somebody in our path? At the grocery store, at the gas station, at our workplace? Would you help somebody come up and ask us, how can I be saved? How can I have my relationship restored? How can I have the peace that you have? What's different about you, Lord? Whatever that is, Father, would you just help us to come along with what you're doing, Lord? And may you be glorified in everything. Father, we love you and we give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.